Greetings, friends. My name is Carson Daniel, and I am the coordinator of church planting at Asbury Theological Seminary. This is episode 7 of season 2, New Churches, New World, with Bishop John Mark Richardson. In this episode, Winfield and Bishop John Mark discuss our cultural shifts, embracing change, and passing the torch to the next generation. We hope you enjoy their conversation. This is part 2 of 2. You are listening to Church Planning Conversations with Dr. Winfield Bevins.
What are some of the key struggles that you're seeing that leaders and churches are wrestling with right now? What are maybe the top two or three? I mean, we could talk for an hour about it.
I think the first one that comes to mind is a term that one of the millennial pastors used in a conference call that we had, and we were talking about a lot of the congregants are not returning, let's say anywhere from 40%, 60%. Now, maybe that might change now that COVID is really kind of lifting, but we were seeing numbers where it was somewhere around 40%, 50%, 60% of people not returning. And I was struggling with just finding them or describing them. And one of the millennial pastors said, they are the disengaged. How do we reach the disengaged church member? A lot of people who have simply left church and they've said, I really like this lifestyle of not going to church. And being devoted to God and passionate about God and sharing my faith. I just like, you know, looking at church on my iPhone or my computer, and that's enough for me. And he began to share how when people start there, it becomes a slippery slope that leads them further and further, or can lead them further and further away from God. And he felt the passion to reach the disengaged. I think people now are trying to figure out how to revive, rejuvenate, to create passion again within folks now who have disengaged from the church. And some have disengaged from God. And they're trying to figure out, how do I reach them? One of the things that Jesus did in New Testament scripture, when we think about evangelism, we're thinking about going to a group of people who've never heard anything about God or have no concept about God. And they are these bunch of heathens and atheists and godless people doing unforgivable type sins. Jesus' ministry really was to the disengaged, because the people he was reaching grew up understanding about God, going to synagogue. They understood the Jewish journey. And they were told stories. They went to the different festivals and feasts and the various events. But by the time Jesus comes on the scene, there was a great, they were so disgusted with the religion of their day, they just simply disengaged and left the church, or left their faith in a sense, or they wasn't practicing their faith. And when Jesus comes on the scene, he comes on the scene preaching in a way and introducing God in a way that sprung a revival and made church and God and the power of God interesting once again. And so he attracted the masses, and the masses that he attracted were actually the disengaged. These were not heathens, some people in a foreign country. These were people who had disengaged from their religion and from God. But Jesus' ministry was able to bring them back in. I think people are searching of ways of how do I bring people back in? How do I bring the disengaged back into a close, vibrant faith in God? And so I would say that's the one thing that I am hearing more than anything. There's some other things, but I'll let you talk right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I think it's a season, again, you can look at the whole pandemic in different frames, but I think the Lord has actually allowed this to kind of pull the carpet out from under the church.
Okay.
Say, you've been doing business as usual for decades. For the last 100 years, churches have just been doing the same old thing.
Yeah.
And God is calling the church to get back to the essentials. You can't reach this generation the way you reached a generation 50 years ago. And I think you're really hitting the nail on the head in that we have to learn how to communicate, not water down the gospel, but how to speak the gospel to this generation in this day, in the midst of social media, in the midst of everything and the complexities. How do we proclaim Jesus? How do we reach the disengaged? I like that. I mean, the fastest growing religious population in the United States is what's called the religious nones, because on surveys, when they're asked, what religion are you a part of? The fastest growing segment of the population are saying none. They have no religious affiliation. And the vast majority of those are young adults. So how do we re-engage them? How do we speak to them in their own way, their own language? And this is what Paul did in the New Testament. This is what the church has always done.
Okay. So
I feel like it's the best of times and the worst of times. It's the worst of times for churches that are unwilling and are stuck and are not willing to engage where the world is now. But it's the best of times if we are willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me to this generation, send me to this moment in time.
Let me tell you something, a fascinating thing happened. We believe that God loves our worship. But man, God shut us all down.
Ah,
he shut down our smoke.
Yep.
He shut down our veins. He shut down our beautiful worship centers became recording studios.
Yep. Yep.
Campuses. Birds were frequenting our campuses more than people. And God shut it down. It was as if, and this is just John talking, as if God was saying, you know, I'm not really all that impressed with your worship. I'm not impressed with all of your committees and how you are doing business. And now we are being forced to rethink how we do ministry. We're being forced to rethink how we try to reach people for Christ in a time that people say, don't get close to me. Man, I don't care if COVID is over. I'll be honest with you. Another point of confession. Man, I still got my mask on when I go out in public. All right? So you got to pray for my faith, everybody. Pray that I get stronger faith. But the point is, a lot of people are still nervous.
Yeah.
And so how do you reach them? With a mask on or people being afraid of you getting close. So God is challenging us to rethink how we do ministry.
Yeah.
I preached a message not too long ago that I felt like the church needed to go to the back to the potter's house and ask God to create us all over again.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things about when God takes that vase and that potter story is pretty much complete. He looks at it, or the potter looks at it and say, what I intended it to, what I created it for is not going to work.
Yeah.
And so I got to recreate this all over again and give it another purpose. It doesn't mean that that purpose is not needed, but it's a new purpose. And I think God now is causing to church to to recreate itself, because where we were going before, it served its purpose. Yep. It's had its time, but God's saying, I need to recreate you all and give you a new, fresh purpose for the time you live in.
The Bible says, behold, I get ready to do a new thing.
And yes, sir.
God is the God of the new creation. And yes, sometimes sir. You just have to, it's painful. Let's just name it. It is, change is not easy. And, you know, I've been saying for the last decade, you know, and written about like, oh, the church is, you know, we need to change. I think the Lord has said, all right, enough of the talk. I'm going to create a situation where you're going to have to change or die. And, you know, part of this is part of a series. I did a talk on what I've called signposts of the future.
Okay.
So a signpost. So this is different than a roadmap, because that we're in the midst of the change, right?
Okay.
And what a signpost is, it points somewhere and it says, this is what we're seeing, but this isn't predictive. It's not saying this is exactly what it's going to look like or what it's going to be. And that's where I think this is an exciting moment. It's like an adventure where the Lord's saying, hey, I'm going to take you somewhere. You don't really know exactly where, but I've been with you in the past. So right, trust right. me to get right. to where you need to go.
Right.
So given that idea of signposts, what are some signs? What are some things that you're seeing for, what is the new church for a new world? Let's help people for a few minutes on that. What are some things that you're seeing you talked about women in leadership.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about maybe rethinking the worship experience. What are maybe a couple things that you're saying as a bishop? Hey, we've helped plant 12 churches just in the last 2 years. Our churches are changing. What are some things that you're seeing? What are a couple things that for our listeners that you say, hey, these are some exciting signposts for the future of the church?
I think, and this may sound a little strange, I think one thing is, some of us old guys are recognizing a couple of things. We've had a good run, but now it's time to empower this next generation. And if we don't do it, we will be in danger of losing not only our kids, but our grandkids. What are we going to leave for them? And I know you have all age groups listening to this. If I can make an appeal to my generation, and that is take the time, the resources, the energy, all you can to empower this next generation. Mm-hmm. You got to bring them close to you. You got to bring them alongside. You got to begin to release them to do ministry in a way that may be totally out of the box, totally uncomfortable, outside of your comfort zone. You have to let it go and empower them to be free to lead as God has called them to lead the church. Guess what? 30, 40 years ago, it happened to us. We were the change agents once upon a time. And the way we wanted to lead the generation before us, they was looking at us like, oh my gosh, the church is going to go to hell. Oh my gosh, they're letting basketball be played on the church grounds, or they got this world, you know, they got bands and guitar. I know some of you guys are not traditional, but I come from a background that certain things, it took a while for people to embrace them. But now that a new generation is coming on, they're going to think differently. They're going to see the world differently. And I think one of the things that we must do, and one of the things that I am seeing, Winfield, is that a lot of guys and females are saying we have to do more to empower the next generation. That's one of the exciting things that I'm seeing. The second, another thing that I'm seeing is that some of us are saying we're going to do all we can so people don't experience what we experience. Now, man, I planted a church. Well, first of all, I took over from my dad when I first was called to pastoral ministry, my dad retired and I took over for him. And I was pastoring that small church and I was just glad to be a pastor. But a few years in, I realized there was something more for me to do. I was called to have a greater impact on the community, on my generation. I was pastoring a lot of older people. And we planted a church in a city called Hawthorne, which was about a 20-minute drive from LA. But it was a changing community. It was going from predominantly white to Hispanic and African American. And we planted a church from scratch there, man. Let me tell you something, Quinfield. What people, it took us a year. You know, there was no church plan. It wasn't at that time. We'll put it this way, Asbury might have been doing that, but I hadn't heard about it. So there was no someone to walk alongside you and say, do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We kind of had to figure it out as we went and make it up as we went. And we read some books, but it wasn't a lot of talk about church planting. One of the things we did, my wife and I, we did, instead of going door to door doing a survey of people, and I got this idea from Robert Schuller, where he would ask, what is the greatest needs of the community? If you was looking for a church, what would you look for? And those are some questions that they did a survey door to door. Well, Hawthorne was a bunch of apartments. This is where people move to when they're leaving home or they just get married. Hawthorne is predominantly apartments as opposed to single family housing. So we knew that we couldn't knock on people's doors. So we got it, they called it the crisscross directory back then, where it gave you the address first and then the name and the phone number. And we gathered up a whole bunch of names. My wife called made 2,500 calls over a year period of time and got 1,200 respondents to those simple questions. What do you think are the greatest needs in the city of Hawthorne? What do you think are the greatest needs of families today? Do you go to church? If they said yes, we say, God bless you. Thank you for your question. But if they said no, we said, if you was looking for a church, what would you look for? And then we got response like, I was looking for a great youth program, or the church start on time, or I would look for the pastor not to preach so long. I was looking for a great music ministry. And we received about 1,200, between somewhere to 900 to 1,200 respondents from that. And from that, man, we prayed over that, those papers. We still got that stack. I still got it to this day. I kept those things, man. And we prayed daily over that. And we began to shape in our minds to reshape how church was done, because we came from a traditional setting. So we said, we're going to do this, 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 this. And we planted that church. And we have impacted thousands upon thousands in this community and around Los Angeles County. I know time is running out and I'm trying to wrap it up. So I remember the tough time making personal sacrifices. We rented our first place, the YMCA. We took money out of our own pocket to pay the rent, all of that. And I'm saying now, I don't want to see the new wave of church planters have to go through what we went through and have to expend a lot of their own personal resources and trying to figure it out as they go. I want to walk alongside them and say, hey, I'm going to take you by the hand and we're going to do this together and we're going to help you. And I think that the older generation is seeing the need to empower the younger generation, and the older generation, there are some of us is willing to come and grab people by the hand and say, let's walk this walk together and create new churches for this new world.
All right, we're going to give an altar call now. Oh, that was good. No, this has been so rich. Because that's really the heart. I think that's the word of the Lord for those of us that have been in leadership, you know, for the last few decades leading the church. We have to make the way. We have to prepare. We've got to learn. And it's a call. I think it is a call for our generation of leaders to pass that on to the next generation.
Yeah.
And so thankful for you, the work that you're doing. Keep on keeping on. Thankful for our friendship and partnership. We're gonna keep dreaming and scheming for the kingdom here. We're gonna grow new churches. We're gonna plant churches for new.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Winfield, and thank you, Asbury. You're just an incredible blessing to us. I'm indebted to you all. Yes.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today. God bless. We'll have some more information on our next podcast coming up soon. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for listening to episode 7 of the Church Planting Conversations podcast. I would like to invite you to apply for the Asbury Church Planting Fellowship for 2022 and 2023. We are now accepting applications, and for more information, visit asburychurchplanting.com/fellowships.